I want to thank you for joining us this morning and for participating in our little pre-exercise. I will definitely be adding this to the slides available on EDUCAUSE. I also want to let you know that this session is being streamed, so when we get into the question and answer period, it's going to be very important for you to go to the mic in the center of the room and speak your questions there so we can share it with the entire audience. And today, we really want you to journey with us. And in that journey, we're taking a lot of risk because we're doing something we haven't done before. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Sue Workman to introduce us.
Good morning. Do you have my mic on?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you spending your Friday morning with us. And if you guys want to come up front, you're welcome to come on in and come up front. But I'm Sue Workman. I'm Associate Vice President for Client Services and Support at Indiana University. And with me we have...
I am Momi Ford. I am the Support Center Manager for Indiana University.
I'm Kathy O'Brien. I'm the Director of Client Support at Indiana University. We're going to ask you to bravely go to someplace we've never been before, and we do this with the thought that this is one of the last sessions. From your standpoint, it's a bit more relaxing. This is going to be a photographic journey, a metaphorical journey, if you will, that describes our relationship with Ivy Tech Community Colleges and how we came to form a partnership that enables us and them to have better service, to combine our collective needs and resources to really go into the unknown. And so our metaphorical journey is going to take the form of a hike around Ogle Lake in Brown County, Indiana. And this is good and bad. The good news is this is one of the last sessions, and quite frankly, if we don't do so well with our first Prezi and our first metaphorical journey, there's not a lot of you, although we are being streamed. And we're going to ask you to journey with us through this partnership and through the hike as we go. Just a little bit of background on this. It's dawn at Ogle Lake, and it's rather misty, and it's the beginning of the partnership with Ivy Tech. Now, IU, just a little bit of background, is 8 campuses, roughly 120,000 students, faculty, and staff. Ivy Tech is 30 campuses, 14 regions, roughly 220,000 students, faculty, and staff. And so we're looking at how can IU provide the support, the technical support for all of those entities. And we're going to begin our journey together on a foggy morning around Ogle Lake, and there really isn't a path or a map or a guide. It hasn't been done. It's definitely going outside of the lines and outside of the box. But you truly do have to start somewhere.
So this all started about 2 years ago, and I had gone to actually meet for the first time the CIO of Ivy Tech, and we were supposed to be talking about licensing and enterprise licensing and how they might be able to benefit from some of the things that Indiana University's done with enterprise licensing, and we did talk about that for a little while, and then she mentioned to me, she goes, I have to outsource my help desk, and I'm like, well, talk to me about that a little bit, because we do a fairly good job, I think, with support at IU, and we might be able to help you. So we began a discussion and talked about, you know, kind of how could this work. And what I said to her is, we are not a vendor. I can't come back to you with the RFP. I don't want to respond to an RFP. I don't have those kind of resources. I don't have any glossies. I don't have any way to do that. But we began to talk. And at IU, we do keep pretty good track of what our costs are. So I know what it costs us to answer a phone call in the support center or an email or a chat or a walk-in. I know what that costs. And the good thing about partner sourcing, as we're talking about this, is that I don't have to make a profit. If you go to a vendor, they have to make a profit. What I have to do is make sure I can deliver a service, and I have to break even. I have to be good stewards of our funding, but at the same time, what I can do is say, you know, I can take your funding, put it together with ours, and then leverage that. So we began this journey of talking about how could we just do a memorandum of understanding and put this together. And I came back, and first I talked to Kathy, and she thought I was a bit crazy. And so we kept looking at, you know, what we thought this would cost. What could we do? What could we do? What could we do? And then we talked to Momi, and then she thought we were both crazy. And we kept working on this whole memorandum of understanding just to say, you know, how could this work? And I was willing to take a little bit of a risk here. And the risk is because I had experienced the support that the students were getting at Ivy Tech because my children went there. And it was not what I would call par. And so we did decide that we could provide a better service and really look at this. So what this really did for the students of Ivy Tech, first of all, I extended it to 24/7. They did not have 24/7 support before. And that allowed us then to be able to give them support 24/7. We already had that service in place. It gave them higher quality support. We had a lot of professionals doing support. They had a very small staff that were mostly students, and students are great, but it's also great to have that professional support and the processes already in place to deliver these things. So the students really benefit, I think, by having all of that in place, and then analytics to be able to go back and look at how that support works. So the students were getting a win-win with this. The state of Indiana, however, was getting a great win with this. Kathy already mentioned this, you know, very large community college, many, many locations. IU has 8 campuses, and we're used to doing, you know, large kind of deployments. And so we had already had the systems together, so there was no duplication of systems, of ACDs or of incident tracking systems or, you know, any chats or any of the systems that you have to have in place in order to really run a good IT support organization. There's no duplication of space. We already had space allocated. We did have to hire some people, and they'll talk about that a little bit. But we already had systems, space, and processes in place. The other thing that we had was expertise. They did not, in fact, when we met with them to kind of finish up this whole negotiation, they're like, you guys like to do support? And we're like, well, yeah, of course we do. We love it. And they did not like it. So it was just a really good match for us because between the three of us, we have over 80 years of experience in support. So in 7 years, we'll have over a century.
Great.
How's that? So, you know, it's just one of those things that they couldn't buy the expertise that the three of us could already bring to them. And not just the three of us, but the staff and all of the kinds of processes that we already had in place. So it seemed like a win-win. So we were willing to kind of look up, you know, and dream a little bit together and say, you know what, we're going to take a risk. And these two institutions are going to work together and try to make this work. So we couldn't bring Ann with us, but we brought a video of her. So here's Ann Brinson, the CIO of Ivy Tech.
The strategies that led to our decision to partner with IU for our help desk operation was primarily our college strategic plan. Strategy 3 of our statewide strategic plan is to ensure optimal quality and efficiency statewide. A major initiative within that strategy is to improve the quality of the students' overall experience. We believe that by partnering with IU and their established and high-quality help desk operation, we will deliver exactly that. We believe our partnership with Indiana University will continue. We began working with IU on our common needs in 2010. That resulted in co-locating our physical data center into the Indianapolis data center. That has opened doors for continued opportunities for discussion to reduce duplicative services to better use our state support dollars. I see those conversations continuing as we're both interested in leveraging common capabilities and services.
So I'm going to take you back a little bit in my personal time. I had been at Indiana University for 4 months when this idea came up. And if we take the hiking metaphor a bit, I'm a big hiker, I really enjoy it, and I don't stick to the trails really well. And I discovered that by going off path in Indiana, you can really get a bad case of jiggers. And so when this opportunity came up, I like puzzles. I like solving things. So good. I read a lot of detective stories. I like logical, rational decisions based on data, and I'll go get some clues. And the reality is, and I can say this with absolute certainty today, and the fact was I wasn't sure I believed it when I was first being answered, is that Ivy Tech, for a period of several years, had been downsizing their support, and they literally were not capturing any metrics. And if you know a call center environment, which I've known since I was a help desk manager at University of Wisconsin and then director of user services there, the reality is you live on data. You can drown in data. And for a logical, rational person who likes data, this is a really, really good thing. To find out that we are now going to look at an MOU and we're going to have to right-size our resources, we're going to have to build the right partnership, and we're going to have to imagine where the path is, was a bit of a shock. And so, kind of just like the photo you see here, there is a path around Ogle Lake. Had to Photoshop in the sign, but we're not going to be on it. And there could be jiggers out there. So 4 months into my tenure at Indiana University, a few things we could make some logical guesses on. There are 220,000 users, we're roughly 110, give or take, 1,000 users. And we know that they are much more of a non-traditional student population. And we speculate that that might mean that our off hours for support would be more utilized by their audience. And we also know that within our off hours, our evening hours in particular, we're 24/7. But the staff do other things in order to be fully productive, including catching up on email. But the fact is the phones don't ring all the time. So we know we've got some interstices, we've got some opportunities. We also know that it's not going to be a simple math equation like support at IU costs this much and we'll have this much volume. And since we're 110 and they're 220, we're not going to just multiply by two. It wouldn't be good for the state of Indiana. It would be good for Ivy Tech, and we would never establish the partnership. And so we keep asking question after question, and the answer is we don't have it. And I'm speculating it a little bit. Maybe they do have it, and they don't want to show it. But the reality is they don't have it. And even when you get to looking for anecdotal context, there's only 7 staff left, and a lot of them have not been there that long. So that's not really available either. So we say to ourselves, we need to get started. We need to go somewhere. And the fact is, we don't have a map. We don't have a marked path. And I'd really love to have a marked path. I'm someone who dearly adores data. We also speculate that we can do universal agents, because I know from other contact experience in private industry that large-scale contact centers don't focus on one particular population, certainly on not one particular product. Indiana has over 200 and some odd, and then subsets of that. We're told Ivy Tech might have around 25, they think. So we also believe that we can cross-train our agents and gain an economy of scale, being able to leverage our resources across that. And frankly, when you don't have a map and you don't have a compass, and if you know me at all, I'm rather logistically challenged to begin with, it's really, really great to have a wonderful explorer. And what I had was a wonderful explorer in Romy Ford. So I'll let her tell you a little bit more of the style as we get started. So we're setting out in the path, and we're headed down into the weeds.
And so at this point, the reins were kind of handed over to my team, and we were given a vision. We had a framework for that vision, and so now we had to come up with a game plan. We realized we had a very short timeline also. We had to wait until Ivy Tech announced the partnership publicly. We did have some key players already who were involved and we were collecting information from, but we needed to get our team out and get boots on the ground and collect information and talk to the support staff at Ivy Tech. But we couldn't do that quite yet, so we had to wait, and we knew as soon as that announcement came out, we had to move very, very quickly because we really only had a few weeks to get everything implemented. So the Indiana University Support Center is made up of about 100 employees covering our two main campuses in Indianapolis and Bloomington, 4 different locations. We've handled email, telephone,
chat and walk-in support. Our staff is used to taking calls from other campuses, including our regional campuses, so it's not foreign to us to take on support from other areas, but this was the first time we really took on an entity that was non-IU, and so there were systems that we were unfamiliar with, and the type of students at Ivy Tech were different than IU, and there were a lot of questions and unknowns that we were going into here. And we realized right away that in order to understand and to be understood, we need to walk in the shoes of our partners, and they need to walk in our shoes as well. So as soon as it was possible, we sent some of our staff from the Indianapolis campus, which was closest to that main Ivy Tech campus, on site. And luckily, I walked into a situation where we had a phenomenal staff already, and Nicole Lyon, who's one of my assistant managers and the frontline lead for Indianapolis, went over to Ivy Tech along with some key personnel and sat down with their staff and talked with them and found out what kinds of questions came through and listened to phone calls and read emails and found who the key players there were who could provide good information to us. And this was an incredibly challenging thing for this team to do because when they walked in the door, there was a lot of tension on the floor. There were a lot of people at Ivy Tech who weren't happy about this change. We were basically coming in and replacing their services. So a number of staff were moving into different roles there, and we were going in to collect information from them. And so there had to be a certain level of sensitivity as they were going in the door, while also collecting pertinent information that we had to have in a very short period of time. As Kathy stated earlier, there really wasn't much documentation. We collected staff observations, we listened to phone calls, and we looked for common problems and solutions. And we wrote down everything we could, and we just collected data. We were also in there looking for potential recruitment because all of a sudden our user base was going to double and possibly be as high as 60% more than what we were used to, and so we knew we would need to hire some more staff to get us through. So they went in with a number of questions. We wanted to get an idea, a sense of what their call volume was like, whether faculty and staff questions were similar to student questions, what the volume of each of those were. We also realized that Ivy Tech was made up of a lot of non-traditional students, so we had to ask questions. How do they differ from IU? What things do we need to look for? What questions do we need to ask them? And what time of the day did they call? A lot of these folks were working full-time and then going to school at night or going to school during their off hours, so when did we need to staff our phones more? And one of the first things that we learned pretty quickly was that there was a huge cultural divide between our support center and the support center at Ivy Tech. And we should have been prepared for that and should have expected that, but it was a much larger divide than we expected. IU support center, we're used to analyzing metrics to death. We love our charts, we love our numbers, we love to analyze things, and we review all our calls. We have a quality assurance set up to make sure we're staying up to the standards that we want. We have training materials we follow. We have procedures and practices so that when new staff come in, they can get on board very quickly. We track tickets and know what types of calls come in and what our bumps are and what times of the year things are busy. And we thought we could collect that information from Ivy Tech and very easily put it in a nice box and fit everything into our structure. And there just wasn't, those analytics just didn't exist. And we found ourselves kind of going down this unknown path. And at first, when you're on a trail and you're lost, your first gut reaction is complete denial. And I'm not really lost. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing that I've been doing that has always worked, and we're going to stick to that, and it will come through. And we realized fairly quickly that we were repeatedly asking for these metrics that didn't exist, and we were like, where are the metrics? We need these metrics. We have to have this. You have to have this information. And they were like, why do you keep asking us this? We don't have this information. and it was kind of... We wanted to go from point A to point B in this very direct line, and that course just didn't exist. it was like we were walking into a wall of brambles or trying to go up a muddy cliff straight up, you know, a wall, and that just was not possible. And so we had to kind of take a step back for a moment and reassess, and we realized that maybe the direct route wasn't the best, and maybe there's a reason why you take those switchbacks to get up to where you need to go. And to paraphrase Vice President Brad Wheeler the other day when he talked about taking curves, and those curves are scary because you don't know what's around the corner, but those curves are what get you where you're going. And that's where we found ourselves. It was a rather frightening place because we liked certainty, and we didn't have that going into this. But we did go, and we had information. We went in, like I said, we listened to calls, we read those emails, we identified key employees there who were providing good information, and we just kept picking that information from them. And we let them tell their stories, and we just listened. So what we did is we gained context and made the best estimations we could given what we had. We tried to guess what to expect and what to prepare, and it wasn't exact, and we weren't 100% certain everything would go well. But despite the uncertainty, and we made the best assumptions we could, and we, at that point, began to define our procedures loosely, knowing that we would have to come back and hone them and redo them and make corrections along the way. So our deadline was approaching, and our anxiety was rising, and we pushed more for more information as we got closer to our deadline. And at the same time, we also had to engage other groups at both campuses. We had to get our networking teams together, telephone teams, our security and policy offices had to be involved. We needed to make sure everything was in line, that we could get access to their systems, that we were following all the correct rules. And so there was a lot of things happening those last few weeks. And as we were trying to basically cross this stream, we realized there were more rapids ahead. One of our final documents that we really had to get in place was had to do with our escalation procedures. We were a 24/7 operation, so depending on when a problem occurred, we needed to know who to call, how to get in touch with them, at what hours we could do so, and if it was different during working hours versus after hours, weekends, or holidays. So in this rush to tie up these loose ends, we temporarily lost focus of working together and found ourselves getting kind of caught in this swirl of the rapids. And again, we had to kind of stop for a second because we were not communicating with each other as partners. And we had to stop and reassess what we were doing and explain what our motivations were and why we wanted this information, why we needed to document this before everything was in place. And this is when we realized our goals were really the same and had to come to that mutual understanding. So in the end, we worked together, we walked the path together, and we crossed the stream together. And in mid-July, Indiana University began taking phone calls after hours and weekends for Ivy Tech, with Ivy Tech partners there on site at our IUPUI campus. We had people who came in and sat and listened to calls or were there available to answer questions that we weren't prepared for. So those early days, we've continued to work together to get through this, and we continue to work on our documentation and our procedures and our plans. And then in mid-October of last year, we made the big switch and involved all of our staff, including our Bloomington staff, to start handling email and phones 24/7. And though there were a few glitches early on, we learned to adjust and adapt. And hone out those processes. And our lessons learned, really, probably the key one was the obvious, and that is that the fear of these changes was much worse than the reality. And given what we know today, I think we're a lot more able to jump into the unknown and a lot more willing to take some chances and not wait till everything is perfectly exact the way we want it to be. The obstacles are just part of the course. Our cultures were very different, and cultural alignment takes understanding, and understanding takes time. And when your time limits are small, you're bound to run into obstacles, and you're bound to bump heads a few times. And it's not necessarily easy, but But when you need to slow down, reevaluate, reassess, and readjust your course as you go, and maneuver through it in tandem with your partners to get through. So
I'm going to take you back to the word cloud, and the word trust, interdependence, communication was key. And it's been my experience that to build trust, you need to journey together. And to journey together well, you need to communicate. And as you journey together, you have to be interdependent in order to survive the trip. So as you walk along, you might have had a sense of where you thought you were going. And it's very important together to stop and reexamine that. So both on an operational level, on a weekly level, as well as at a more strategic level, we meet regularly with Ivy Tech to assess what we've learned, what we've seen along the trail, what might have knocked the tree down. We also, and I love this, remember I'm the data person, we're collecting data. And more data we've got information. And information gives you the who, the what. You get past information, and you start to get understanding because you start to get context. And we start to understand universal agents are working and our speculation that non-traditional students are going to access us more in the evenings, utilizing and making all of us more efficient. And it is possible to do more for more with more together. The sum is so much more than each individual part added together. But as you do that, you need to stop and reflect. The sun is starting to come up. The mist is starting to burn off. And as you're going along, it's really important to take the time to look at the data, to question your original assumptions, to adjust whatever map or plan you thought you had, because you never really know what you might find along the way that you can enjoy together and that you can benefit from and that you can learn from. We also learned, as we reflected back on our assumptions, that they're all higher education students, and the assumptions were that higher ed students would be similar but different, that reflections, indeed, can give you a hint at what's over that next hill, but they're only a reflection, and ripples can be very different. And taking the chance to see what the impact of those ripples are on the plan was oh so very worth it. Certainty, as Momi said, is just so highly overrated. And one of the things we learned was that non-traditional students, we knew they took less courses. They take a lot less courses. That does mean they come and go in their academic career more often, a lot of password resets. But it also means that their total of support is less because it's not their full-time life in many cases. Even more interesting, and another really good example of what Momi said, that our fears were much greater than the reality. As Momi said, we started taking 24/7 in October of 2012, so our very first semester startup rush is spring, and it is huge. It is gigantic. And in higher ed at Indiana University, spring rush is a bump, and we know it. But it's nothing like the bump at fall rush. So we're now looking at an absolutely huge volume and spike in calls from Ivy Tech in spring, and we're thinking, oh my goodness, what will fall be like? And we're going to come around that curve. It's going to hurt a lot. And the fact is, having lived through fall rush 2013 with both Ivy Tech and IU and with Universal Agents, their fall rush is really no bigger than their spring rush. Their students don't really have that type of a calendar. A bit of a pleasant surprise. We also know that there are many places we can still continue to go together. And as I reflect back, I came to IU basically to work for Sue. And I know she was going to throw me a few curves. And she did. And I'm very glad I made that choice. I won't even say be careful what you ask for. Ask for it. You won't regret the things you ask for. So moving forward.
Well, I find the whole metaphor very interesting because I thought for sure you were going to say I threw you guys in the lake and just to see if you could swim. Yeah. But, you know, I'm really very proud of these two and their teams and what they have done. This was not an easy task. This was asking something that hasn't been done before that we know of. And in a very short time, Kathy said that she'd been here 4 months. MOMI had started as a support center on July 1st, and we entered into this agreement on July 16th. So I gave her, you know, 15 days. But, you know, it's the talent and the experience that they've had that really has brought this about. What we haven't told you is Kathy's organization alone gets over 2 million personal contacts a year, and another 30 million or so online searches to our knowledge management system and to our online self-service resources. So they're dealing in really, really high volumes here, and it's all working. But it's all working because they do make those adjustments, and they don't let those rapids or those ripples take them off course. They really do look at how to do these things, and they know how to do these things, and they make it work, and they respond very, very quickly. So if any of you are in support, you know the quick response is probably one of the major things that you can do in order to stop something from rippling too far. And so they really do put those resources into it. So, you know, we did have the word, if you weren't here earlier, we did a little Wordle up front. And trust was the key word that came out about how you form partnerships. And, you know, Ivy trusted IU to do this. I think that in the future, I mean, this kind of trust between institutions is the only way we're really going to be able to deliver the kind of volume with the resources that we have. And so I think we really have to look at how do we do that and what else is available to us. So we are working on several relationships and delivering services in different ways. This is one. And I think we can watch their faces when I say this. I think we can do this for other people too and other institutions. I think that we can expand this further. We know how to do this. We can scale it. So we scale it two more times. You know, it's still not this scale that some of the large companies do. So we can do this, I think, and still, you know, have the ability to do that. And we want you to be thinking about how you can do that in order to look at, you know, education, higher education, and how we can utilize the resources that we have efficiently and effectively. We really have to start thinking differently. We think we can do this with knowledge management. We think that 60% of what we write and what you write and what you write and what you write is the same thing. There's no reason for us to keep doing this duplicating effort. We think we can share that. We are already at IU, we are delivering software downloads to University of Maryland, to LSU, to University of Alabama, Huntsville, as well as IU. So we think that there's services that we can leverage too. We already have the infrastructure built, and I think we can scale that out. We've got a cloud storage application that we think we can scale. We think that we might even be able to scale virtual application delivery. So what can you do? You know, what can you do? What can you do in order to help higher education be able to really share the resources in order to put the money back into the missions of the university, into teaching, learning, research, and in order to perhaps stop duplicating so much and then put those resources to tools or resources that in fact can bring more value to student learning or to research.
So Sir Ken Robinson quoted James Baldwin, and I dearly love the quote. And so whether your art is shooting photography, writing poetry, growing people to their greatest potential, which is where I come from teaching and what major mission of the academic institution is. The purpose of art is to lay bare the questions that have been hidden by the answers. So I'll take you back to a poem I think probably most of you will recognize. I won't put the whole poem up there, but I happened to come across it when I was thinking about this metaphor and trying to compose it. And you probably remember The Start by Robert Frost. It took two paths. And he chose to travel the one with a lot of undergrowth that was less traveled. What you may not have noted was the last stanza. And two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And so I want to encourage you to take the uncommon path to go to uncommon places. It's the only way to get to uncommon places. And with that said, we'll throw it open for questions.
I have a question. I'm Carol Wood. I'm the executive director for IT at the Indiana University Northwest campus, one of the regional campuses of IU. And we run a support center that is very closely partnered with your support center. One of the big issues that we deal with is training. IT is technology rich, and it seems like every day there's something new out there. And I have a much smaller staff, but I still have a big responsibility to make sure my frontline staff can answer those questions. So can you tell us a little bit about how do you handle training in general, and how did you handle the training when you took on Ivy Tech?
Sure. Well, Carol, this is actually a topic that has come up in a group that of the support centers at IU that meet monthly in terms of our training modules. One of my staff members, one of my leads, is our training specialist and quality assurance coordinator, Adam Smith, and he oversees our training modules. And before I came in, we already had a very robust training system for new employees to go through all the common practices that we modules that they need to work through and learn. And we've been sharing that out with our regional campuses as well. Over the last couple of months, there's been more discussion about how to get that information out. But we did the same thing for Ivy Tech. And Adam worked with, it was mainly our Indianapolis staff originally who were, when we first brought Ivy Tech in July, we kept it kind of focused in one area. And Adam came in and helped with documentation, and we worked with all of our staff beforehand, before we started taking calls, to read through all the documents and take whatever training modules were available at that time. But that, you know, that is something that I think we need to work together as a group too, to find what common modules are useful across the board.
So let me add something to that too. Many of you probably know that we have had a knowledge management system for many, many, many years. And what you can do with your internal staff, I mean, we've thrown that open for self-help, of course, but it also has an internal component to it. And so when you can start populating that, you don't have to train everybody to the nth degree. They can have those things at their fingertips so that they can feel confident then that the answer that they are giving is complete or is correct. So you have to have the tools in place so that you don't have to train everybody on everything. You can't. It's impossible. So what you have to have is the tools to help with that.
I'm going to add another piece, too. I'm going to suggest that regardless of whether you're training a staff of 5 or 10 or 20 or 80 part-time, and what are we at now, Momi, full-time?
About 50, I think.
About 50? Okay. That sounds right. You still have to develop a training program, and you're going to leverage a lot of resources to do that. That can scale also. You're going to do the same amount of work in creating the program and planning the program. So through our community practice at the campuses of IU, that's something I think I would challenge you, Carol, and everybody else to think about. I mean, 67% of the content in our knowledge base is capable of answering 67% of the context and questions that Ivy Tech has is in the knowledge base. I would think that's a pretty fair assumption to guess and to bet on that guess as you go around the curve and you can't see and you're in the mist that 67% of the training is also reusable and should be designed from a standpoint of scale.
Other questions? We'll be here for a few minutes. If anyone wants to come up and talk to us individually, happy to do so. Thank you for your time and enjoy your last day.
Safe travels.